We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Of course, you can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are on to day three of the NFL draft after a very exciting day two. Brian did his first trade of the draft, moving down from pick 41 to pick 45. Green Bay had four selections still on day two. It was a very entertaining day. It was an unpredictable day. And Green Bay ended up with four really fun players that we are going to break down here. So you guys have a better feel and taste for exactly what type of players these guys are and what they're going to be able to bring to the team both this year and moving forward. Before we get there, the buzzword of this draft so far, or at least this week so far, I feel like for a lot of Packer fans, it's been subterfuge. And Brian Gutekunst is going to be lying and putting little tricks in who his top 30 visits are and trying to keep things sneaky, and you're not going to be able to tell what he's going to do. Brian Gutekunst told us exactly what he was going to do in those first three draft picks with the first and second round players that he selected. First of all, per usual, all of these draft picks that they have taken so far are very Packers type players. They hit a lot of athletic thresholds. They're the exact type of players. There's nothing that you're like looking at from an athletic standpoint where you're like, wow, that's somebody that's usually off there. These are all very Packers type players. But going back to what Brian Gutekunst said, three different occasions, there were questions in very recent memory that led you to believe that the exact three players that they selected with their first three picks in this draft could be the players that he selected. Let's start with that offensive lineman. I talked about all of this a little bit already in some of the live shows and things like that, so bear with me for a second. But on the offensive line, I asked him directly, and I said, what are you looking, you know, what about these big offensive tackles, the Guyton's and the Mims and the Lathams? And he said, yes, bigger, faster, stronger, but We really like versatile guys, guys that play outside, could also kick inside. That's worked out really well for us, and we expect to continue to do that in the future. No lies told. The exact player that you think of when that comes to mind, a tackle that moves inside, Graham Barton is an interior player who could play tackle in a pinch. Their belief in announcing him as a tackle and saying that he has four position versatility is that Jordan Morgan's going to be able to play all over the place. He told us exactly what they look for. Jordan Morgan was the one player on the board that really fit that exact definition, and they took Jordan Morgan. He was asked about linebacker back at the NFL league meetings. He was asked, what about the Sam? What about the Will? What about the Mike? What differentiates the two? And again, I'll paraphrase here a bit, but he basically said, hey, we are looking for a two linebacker defense. We're going to play a lot of nickel. We want two guys that are interchangeable, that are going to have all the same traits and going to be able to do all the same things. We don't want specialties, because once you have guys that get injured, those guys are going to have to step up. And if they're terrible at one aspect of the game, that's going to get exposed. So the player that jumped off the tape and the page for exactly how he defined that, a Quay Walker type player, somebody that could do everything that Quay does, somebody that could interchange and sort of go back and forth. You could blitz one, you could drop the other, you could drop one, you could blitz the other, you could spy either of them, you could get sideline to sideline, whatever you sort of need. Edgerrin Cooper has, Quay Walker has. There's flaws in both of their games. There's things that, especially from taking on blocks, you maybe were left wanting a little bit more. But the exact thing that he told you he wanted as that second linebacker is Edgerrin Cooper to AT at safety. I've said for a while now, and I know Jaden Hicks is still on the board, I've said that I think Jaden Hicks pairs beautifully with Xavier McKinney, with the thought process that Xavier McKinney is your post safety and Jaden Hicks is your box safety. There are other safeties that were taken. Cole Bishop, for example, who also could be that box safety. When he was asked and gave his definition of what he wanted at the safety position, he very vehemently said, not looking for a box safety, not looking for a post safety, not looking for a slot corner. I want somebody who can do all of it. He said it flat out. There's no lying here. There's no deceit. He told us exactly what he was looking for. The single most versatile safety in this draft that can play in the post, that can play in the box, that can play too high, that can play in the slot, that can do all of it, is Javon Bullard. He literally told us the exact definition of what he was looking for, and he got it with the offensive lineman in Jordan Morgan. He got it with the linebacker in Edgerrin Cooper, and he got it with the safety in Javon Bullard. 1, 2, 3, subterfuge be damned. This is who he wanted, and he went out and he got his exact type of players that hit all the athletic thresholds that they usually look for. This was a very Brian Gutekunst draft. This is a very Packers type player draft. And he told it right to our face. And we should have seen it coming from a mile away. And some of them we did. We've gone over all three of those players in pretty great detail as very Packers types that they could pick. And we've predicted versions of this. But it's very interesting that, again, there should have been no doubt that these three players were very high on their list. And he ends up with all three of them in the first two rounds. All right, day two in total. Edgerrin Cooper, they take in the second round. Javon Bullard, they take in the second round. Marshawn Lloyd, the running back, just to sort of recap here. Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker. Javon Bullard, the safety. Marshawn Lloyd, the running back. And Tyron Hopper, the linebacker, are the four players that they get on day two of the draft. Remember, Edgerrin Cooper is the Aaron Rodgers trade, right? They know they trade down from 41 to 45, but Edgerrin Cooper is a piece of that Aaron Rodgers trade. Javon Bullard is their own second round pick. Marshawn Lloyd is, I'd have to look back at which one is which. I think the Packers actually finished better than the Bills. I have to go back and look, but Hopper and Lloyd, one of those is the Bills pick for Rasul Douglas. And of course the other one is their own third round pick. But those are the players that they end up with on day two, all Packers types. But here's the big thing. Day one, we know that Jordan Morgan was in need, but again, that's going to be your classic sort of, in one way, it's the home run swing, but in another way, it's sort of like you're eat your vegetables. It's, you know, this is the sort of pick that they needed to take in round one to really fulfill something that was super important to them, a high-end player, but also somebody that can play a variety of different spots on that offensive line and provide some much needed depth. Day two, a lot more fun, I think. And day two really also addressed a ton of needs. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker. They needed that starting linebacker opposite Quay. Yeah, you could go into the season with Quay and McDuffie, but you're always left wanting more if those are your two starting linebackers. I think Adrian Cooper is going to be a stud. This is a big-time draft pick. I'm a little surprised he took the chance of going down to 45. He must have felt good about a couple of the other linebackers, and clearly they took one later in Hopper as well. But I was a little surprised they moved down, but they moved down. They still get Adrian Cooper. They pick up a fifth and a sixth round pick in the process. Great overall process by still getting their guy there. And this is a player that's going to come in and start right away next to Quay. Javon Bullard. I know that they said, like, hey, we think he can play in the slot. Hey, we think he can play at safety. Let's see. We think he's going to start at safety. He's going to be the safety. He is going to be the safety next to Xavier McKinney. We'll talk about more on that in just a moment. But they get two clear starters, in my opinion, in Adrian Cooper and Javon Bullard on day two. By the way, and I said this yesterday as well, I do believe Jordan Morgan will start. Now, is it that for Rashid? Does that mean Rashid moves to right tackle, Zach Tom moves inside, and Sean Ryan is benched, or is Josh Myers benched? Do they put Zach Tom at center, Rashid at right tackle, and have Myers and Ryan fight for right guard? All of those questions will get answered eventually, but I do believe that Jordan Morgan will end up starting as well. So I think you got a starting offensive lineman, a starting linebacker, a starting safety. Then they go get Marshawn Lloyd, which we knew that that running back position after Josh Jacobs was still a huge need for Green Bay. We had too much experience last year when Aaron Jones was out of the complete lack of any dynamic playmaking in the running back room. It wasn't good enough. The juxtaposition of what Green Bay had when Aaron Jones was on the field from a playmaking standpoint to what they didn't have when he was gone, that gap was far too big. And it was so important that they filled that with a running back that had some explosive ability, that had the ability to take it to the house, and that is going to be a bit of a change of pace from what they have on the roster right now. That is Marshawn Lloyd, a really fun running back that we'll again break down more in just a little bit here. And then they go get Tyron Hopper. This was the one where maybe because you already took a linebacker, didn't feel quite as needy. But I would disagree with that actually in a pretty significant way. First things first. If you just look at the linebacker position right now, you have Quay Walker, Adrian Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie prior to the Hopper pick, and then you've got special teams guys. Eric Wilson, special teams guy. Christian Welch, special teams guy. Christian Young's a back of the roster flyer type guy. You've got really Quay Walker and Adrian Cooper and Isaiah McDuffie, and that's it. You don't really have true linebackers that you actually want in the game playing defense. And if they do play any 4-3 at all, those are your three. And if any gets hurt, now you're putting a guy in that you really don't want on defense. So getting some more depth there was very important. The other thing is injuries, of course. If you do actually have any injuries at that position, it's going to be important that you have somebody that can step up. The other one is Isaiah McDuffie, free agent, right? Like he's ending his contract. He's coming towards the end of his contract. You want somebody that can potentially take that spot if needed. And you go now into 2025 with Quay Walker, Adrian Cooper, and Tyron Hopper, which gives you a little bit more flexibility with what you want to do with McDuffie moving forward as well. So overall, I still thought that was a need at that point. And they addressed a lot of their needs by getting Cooper, Bullard, Lloyd, and Hopper on day two, along with Jordan Morgan on day one. Let's kind of play this out, because I know some people were maybe frustrated a little bit with the order of operations and how the draft kind of played out, specifically maybe with that first pick. Green Bay was set to pick at pick 41, and we sort of kicked off the beginning of day two, and Cooper DeJean falls to, what, 34, then 35, then 36, then 37, then 38, then 39, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, they're going to take him at 41. Then pick 40 comes along, and but the Eagles trade up for pick 40, and they take Cooper DeJean right in front of Green Bay, eerily reminiscent to yesterday when the Lions traded up one pick in front of Green Bay and took Terry Arnold. I said yesterday, I do not believe Green Bay would have taken Terry Arnold based on Goody's press conference. We talked about it. He doesn't seem to be in the mood for line. He seems to be pretty transparent with what's been going on. It seems like they were going to take Jordan Morgan, that he was the guy on the top of their list. They turned in that card right away. They had no issue with Detroit moving up. They had conversations with Detroit about trading. I don't think they had any real inkling of taking Terry Arnold at that spot. I think they were going to take Jordan Morgan no matter what. So in a way, Detroit moving up on day one and taking Arnold before, if they really wanted Jordan Morgan, better than somebody staying at that spot, which by the way, was the Dallas Cowboys that traded down. The Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones had four players on their list. He came out and said it. There was four players on their list that they were deciding between, one of which was Jordan Morgan. If the Lions don't make that trade, it is possible, well within the realm of possibility, because it was Barton. I think it was Darius Robinson, if I remember. Barton, Darius Robinson, Tyler Guyton, and Jordan Morgan. There's a realistic possibility that they just take Jordan Morgan at that spot, and now Green Bay has to go in a different direction. And if Morgan was in fact their guy, that trade up for Terry Arnold could have actually been a blessing in disguise for the Packers, who I very much believe at that point, based on Goody's press conference after, was legitimately their guy. And you might be rolling your eyes and say, well, what is he supposed to say? I'm not even saying what he's saying. I was reading between the lines of how they maneuvered on draft day, and it was very clear and easy to tell, paired with the fact that that pick came up and they immediately took Jordan Morgan. I wholeheartedly believe Jordan Morgan was their guy at that spot. I'm in the same boat here with pick 41. I know that it looks like pick 40, Cooper DeJean, the Eagles move up and then the Packers move back. Goody in his press conference said they had worked out that trade two picks in advance. Theoretically, is he lying? Okay, maybe. Theoretically, is it possible that they worked out that trade two picks in advance in the event that their guy was gone and he just left off the in the event that our guy was gone? Maybe. I said for a week now, I don't necessarily believe that Cooper DeJean was the guy that they really wanted. I call me crazy. Maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe they really wanted him at 41. I don't think so. I think they were going to go in a different direction no matter what. I think Javon Bullard was kind of the guy that they wanted at that safety spot. They trade down after DeJean gets taken. I know other people are maybe a little bit upset that Kool-Aid McKinstry was there at 41. They trade out of 41. They get 45, 168, and 190. And in the process, the team that trades up for 41, which is escaping me at the moment, takes Kool-Aid McKinstry at pick 41. So they had the opportunity to take McKinstry twice at 25 and 41. They passed on it both times. They probably had the ability to move up a little bit if they wanted to go get Cooper DeJean. They didn't. And they had already had a trade worked out per Brian Gutekunst at pick 41. They were not going to take him there either. So they be upset that they didn't take DeJean, and we'll see if this comes back to haunt Green Bay that they didn't. But again, I think they really liked Javon Bullard at safety, which they eventually got at pick 58. I don't hate that decision at all. Just don't. I don't think that Cooper DeJean was exactly what Green Bay wanted with this defense. And we'll just have to wait and see. And remember, he did fall to pick 40 too. This is not somebody that, immediately after Green Bay passed at 25, he went 26. He went pick 40. So there clearly other teams had some concerns with him as well. Pick 41, as I mentioned, was McKinstry. Then 42, 43, 44, and 45 comes back up. And that's when the Packers go get Edgerrin Cooper. The other thing I'll say here too, whatever you think of Cooper DeJean, and I will reiterate one more time, I like Cooper DeJean. I really, really do. And he's a really good football player. But if the different multiverses here that happen are that they take DeJean at 41, meaning he doesn't go 40, they take DeJean at 41, they don't get those extra draft picks, and then when they pick at 58, Edgerrin Cooper is gone, and they can't go up to get him, please, give me the world in which they get Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, and two extra draft picks rather than Cooper DeJean at 41, and then they have to settle for one of the other linebackers, or they just don't take a linebacker until maybe 88 or 91 when they get Hopper, and now they don't have Edgerrin Cooper. And yes, they probably end up getting some other good player, for sure, but Edgerrin Cooper is, to me, one of the really big aspects of this draft for the Packers. I love the fact that they got him at 45. I'm not really willing to change any of those universes to make it so that they get DeJean, but they don't get Edgerrin Cooper. And then they, especially when you consider the fact that they got Javon Bullard at 58. So I know that a lot of people are upset about DeJean, and totally you're right. Like I said, he's a really, really freaking good football player. No questions asked. And I do think Halfley would have found great ways to utilize him and use him. But I don't think they were going to take him. Didn't seem like they had any real interest. And I love the fact that they got Cooper at 45, then Bullard at 58. Then they get Marshawn Lloyd at 88. I don't think there was much that really sort of went on from a drama standpoint before that. The question here is Jalen Wright. Would they have been better off taking Jalen Wright than Marshawn Lloyd? We'll see. We'll see where Jalen Wright goes in day three. He did not get taken the rest of day two, so he's still on the board. But I would have liked probably Jalen Wright a little bit more, but there's almost zero differentiator there for me. And I love Marshawn Lloyd. I loved Jalen Wright as well. But no problem with that. I think they're very similarly graded, in my opinion. And if you like Lloyd more, I'm not going to argue that whatsoever. Hey, friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid, and guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. The next one is the big one. Tyron Hopper goes 91, and a lot of people saying, hey, Peyton Wilson's out there. And he, of course, just goes a few picks later after that. Peyton Wilson reported from Ian Rappaport that he doesn't have an ACL in one of his legs. I don't even know how that works. I am not a doctor. I don't pretend to be. That seems bad. That seems very not good. There was a scout that talked to Bob McGinn that said he's going to be a one contract guy only. My guess is Peyton Wilson was not on Green Bay's board just from a medical standpoint. And it is very clear that other teams sort of felt that way as well. That, you know, for him to fall this far into day three, it just was not going to be the case. There's injury issues. He's older. There's some instinct issues on tape. But if without the injury, without, you know, any of that stuff, he definitely goes a lot sooner. But I can give Green Bay a pass here with the thought process and idea that he probably just did not pass their medicals. The bigger one for me here, Cedric Gray. I think Cedric Gray is a fantastic linebacker. That would have been the direction that I went with there. I've also talked about Olofosio. He's another really fun linebacker. I don't think he was ever really in Green Bay's board. But for me, if the choice was between Tyron Hopper and Cedric Gray, that's when I would have leaned pretty aggressively towards Cedric Gray. But I am really excited. I went back and watched a little tape of Hopper already. There's a lot of aggressiveness there. There's some physicality. I'm excited to watch Hopper a little bit more and kind of break him down as we get into this week and go deep dive by deep dive over these draft picks. But we'll see where Gray ends up going. We'll talk about Hopper's breakdown here. I don't hate it as much as I think some people do, and we'll get into why in just a moment. All right, let's go through. We're going to go through really deep dives on all of these players later in the week. So we'll give kind of a basic scouting report now, but the big time deep dives are coming over the course of the next 2 weeks for all of these draft picks. Edgerrin Cooper, strengths, athleticism, and speed. He triggers and is like a missile to the ball carrier. Legit sideline to sideline ability, an extremely easy mover, and his overall athleticism, speed, and explosiveness jumps off the tape in a very significant way. Change of direction. His time testing was not elite, but he definitely showed good change of direction ability on tape. I don't have any real concerns there. The hitting is fantastic. The intensity is fantastic. If you're looking for somebody that's going to bring a little bit more pop, a little bit more oomph at that second level and isn't going to be afraid to knock some people out, you're going to get that from Edgerrin Cooper. Blitzing, he is really great at it. He had 8 sacks this past season. And what he really has is that closing ability. I talked about this in the brief breakdown of Cooper, but with Edgerrin, when we talk about edge rushers, sometimes you wish some of these edge rushers had that closing ability to the quarterback. Cooper has it as an off-ball linebacker. And that's what makes him such a special blitzer is if he gets on a running back, he's going to go through that back and then has the ability to explode to the quarterback and close that gap. And again, if he gets a free rush, he's going to close to the quarterback. He just has a very unique closing ability for an off-ball linebacker. Spine, he works really well as a spy. So if you get a more agile, mobile quarterback that you want to spy on, he can absolutely do that. He's a machine at diagnosing screens, not only at running back screens, but the wide receiver screens to the outside. Couple plays on tape where he diagnoses that and screams to the outside and makes an immediate play. The game, you can tell, is very much starting to slow down for him, especially this past season. He started displaying more patience. Yes, it's great that you want that physicality and that attacking demeanor, but there is a time and a place for it. And sometimes you just need to play with patience. I thought he did a better job of that this past season. In coverage, he didn't always get asked to do a ton, but go back to 2022, he gets challenged on a wheel route. He covers it perfectly, gets challenged on a Texas route, covers it perfectly. He reads quarterback's eyes well, drops into coverage with relative ease, and reacts quickly to what's in front of him. He's a great effort player. He's constantly working towards the football, rallying towards the football, and I thought he continued to get better and better throughout his career. And the Alabama tape for Edgerrin Cooper is maybe one of the best prospect tapes of or games of any prospect in this entire draft. Weaknesses, they did not ask him to do a ton in coverage. Wrapping up needs to get better. Got juked in the open field on multiple different occasions by shiftier players. He will play too fast, and that's where I said that patience is getting there, and it's more on display. But when he's not patient, he plays a bit too fast, and that missile mentality, while sometimes a positive, sometimes it's a negative, and that's where he gets kind of beat with those cutbacks. Plays too high as well. You'd like him to get a little bit lower to the ground, play with a little bit better leverage and a little bit better balance and center of gravity. He avoids blocks rather than taking them on. He will do a little bit of his own hunting and sort of go outside the dynamic of the play. The hard part here is that he actually does a really good job of it. And usually when he does his freelancing and it's like, I'm just going to make this play on my own, he does, but he will do a little bit of freelancing there. And he's on the lighter side. He's going to struggle against some bigger, more physical offensive linemen in the NFL. And that's kind of why he avoids blocks rather than trying to take them on. My big thoughts here, I think he's the best linebacker in the draft or was the best linebacker in the draft. To me, he was always a fringe first, second round guy, and Green Bay gets him at a really good spot in early, mid, second round. I thought he was the best player at a weaker position in the draft, but I still think he was well within the right to be drafted there, or even earlier if he would have gone a little bit earlier. He fits very well in Jeff Hafley's defense. He fits Goode's definition of what they want at linebacker. I said before the draft that pick 41 felt perfect, and not only did they not have to go at pick 41, they got him at pick 45 while picking up a couple extra picks along the way. He is going to be Green Bay starter next to Quay Walker right away. I don't think there's any question about it, and they should be a very fun and dynamic linebacker duo. All right, Javon Bullard. Strengths, really quick coming forward, 4.440 speed shows up on tape, high points the football, better explosiveness and leaping ability than how he tested at the combine. It shows up more on tape. He's got tremendous versatility. We talked about it, slot, deep post, box safety, too high safety, whatever you need him to do, he can do, and he can do it well. He's aggressive. He's physical. He's attacking hand in hand with, actually, we'll talk about that with Hopper as well, but Edgerrin Cooper, they've got some attacking players now on this defense. He can do everything well. High football IQ, great instincts, plays fast, does not hesitate, and he won't beat himself. He will make other players in coverage beat him. You know, sometimes he's going to be a little bit overpatient, but he's not going to overcommit. He's not going to usually bite on double moves. He will stick with you, and if you beat him, he'll tip your cap, but he's usually not going to beat himself. Weaknesses, he will get caught flat-footed on the second level if he's your last line of defense. For example, against Tennessee, Jalen Wright had a big run. Bullard had him in the open field. And I say had him, he was in the last line of defense in the open field. And Jalen Wright just completely outran him. And he got caught flat-footed and was just gone. Over, had no chance of catching up. He is good, but not great in coverage. A bit of tightness in his hips can cause him to be a little bit lacking in the fluidity that you ideally would want at the position. I do wonder what his ideal fit is. This is a little bit in the Cooper DeJean sort of realm that we've talked about of, I don't think he's a perfect slot corner, but he can play it. I don't think he's a perfect box safety, but he can play it. I don't think he's a perfect post safety, but he can play it. I think a too high safety system might have been the best system, but the fact that he can do all of it well gives me the confidence and faith that they'll figure out how to use him best. And it does give him that versatility with Xavier McKinney. And then he just lacks some of the length. He's shorter. He's a Darnell Savage type build. And you just would love that, if, especially if he's going to play any center field ball, that he gets a little bit more length and can play that center field position a little bit better. But he does make up for it with speed and athleticism. The fit here is that he is a starter immediately, in my opinion, next to Xavier McKinney, with those two being able to play a variety of different roles on the back end of that defense. All right, that brings us to Marshawn Lloyd. Strengths, he's extremely shifty, fantastic cutback ability, extremely minimal wear and tear in his career, averaged 7 yards per carry this past season, good vision, he's very compact with really good speed, projects as a back who could pick up the blitz, although we'll talk more on that just momentarily, and he has good hands, although he had very limited opportunities to actually utilize his hands. His weaknesses, he gets a little bit east to west far too often. And what I mean by that is sometimes you just need to take the yardage that's in front of you. He will try to bounce outside when there's not always an avenue to bounce outside. And that just ends up usually in a loss of yardage. Fumbles have been a major issue. 8 fumbles in his career. He had a torn ACL. It's cleared now. He's fine. It was a while ago, but still worth noting. Pass pro has been an issue. Like I said, he projects as somebody with that compact build that should be able to pick up blitz as well, but it has been a bit of a roller coaster ride when he's asked to do it. Let's see, what else do we have here? Minimal experience, meaning, you know, we talked about the minimal wear and tear, but he also just doesn't have some of the experience. Yeah, he has enough, but usually you get these guys a couple thousand carries. He just doesn't have that at college. So still a learning curve a little bit for Marshawn Lloyd. Limited pass catching experience and very, very limited special teams ability. So he's going to have to really make it as a running back and continue to hone and improve some of those skills. His fit in Green Bay, in my opinion, number 2 running back with a change of pace. He needs to be better at holding onto the ball, pass protecting, and showing more as a pass catcher. If he can't hold onto the ball and he can't pass protect, it's going to be really hard to get on the field. So it's going to be paramount for Lloyd that he does a better job of holding onto the football, not turning it over, and doing a much better job in pass pro if he wants to see the field on passing downs with Jordan Love.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Last but not least, Tyron Hopper. Strengths, impressive blitzing ability, sideline to sideline speed. He's an attacking linebacker, plays with great energy, works well as a quarterback spy. These are a lot of the same traits we talked about with Edgerrin Cooper. He's impressive in pursuit, will track down players from behind, team captain, plays physical, willing to take on blockers, 468 career special team snaps, and he comes from a very impressive Missouri defense that's very well coached. I love the Darius Robinsons, the Ennis Rakestraws in this class. He's from that same Missouri defense that was fun, attacking, physical, and they really played football the right way. And I think he's going to hopefully be able to bring that over to Green Bay. His weaknesses, I think he has a little bit of poor instincts, needs to do a better job of wrapping up, does not look natural in man coverage, has poor change of direction ability. He's undersized. He's another player with short arms. I think we're about done talking about short arms at this point, but he is a little on the short arm side, and he will struggle with size and athleticism of bigger offensive linemen and taking on those linemen at the next level. His fit in Green Bay, core special teamer. He'll have the opportunity to earn that number three linebacker job over Isaiah McDuffie. He's a depth piece and could potentially be that Isaiah McDuffie number three linebacker replacement moving forward, as they potentially could move on from McDuffie if they wanted to after this season. So Hopper's an interesting player, but like I said, he's going to provide some depth. He's a long-term play. They needed more bodies at linebacker, and he is a core special teamer for Rich Bisaccia as well, who finally gets a little something. He got Greg Joseph. He got Keyshawn Nixon back, but he's lost some players. Dallin Leavitt they cut last year. Rudy Ford is gone. So he finally gets a player that really projects as a core special teamer. I don't know if they're just throwing Bisaccia a bone at the end of day three, but it's important to get these style of players too that can come in and help on special teams, especially with the new kick return rules. I think that's going to be really important, but he's going to be a core special teamer from day one and some much needed depth at that linebacker position. As far as day two on a whole, they fill a lot of needs. They get two linebackers, a safety, a running back, all positions we've talked about them needing to fill out the roster. Love the Edgerrin Cooper pick. Think he's the best linebacker in the draft. Javon Bullard is exactly what they were looking for, and it's going to allow for a lot of versatility with both McKinney and Bullard, and a lot of disguising with what they do pre and post snap. Looking forward to that. Marshawn Lloyd was Daniel Jeremiah's top running back in this draft, and like I said, I had a couple running backs a little bit ahead of him, but he is in every right to be in the argument and in that conversation right with any other running back in this draft. And Hopper is a core special teamer with much needed depth at linebacker that I think they overdrafted probably a little bit, but I'm really excited, like I said, to go back and break down his tape a little bit more. I do like the attacking mentality that Hopper has, and Cooper has that ability as well. And it makes you wonder, in this Jeff Hafley defense, are they going to be more attacking, more double A-gap blitzes, more run blitzing, more spying, more attacking? Are they going to do that? Because if so, they got two linebackers that are able to attack in Hopper and in Edgerrin Cooper, and they have one as well in Quay Walker already. If you kind of look at it as a whole, not only did they get Edgerrin Cooper, who might be the best linebacker in the draft, in my opinion, is the best linebacker in the draft, but he picks up a fifth and a sixth round draft pick for doing so. That's great process. They arguably have maybe the best safety in the draft. It's at least arguable. Maybe the best running back, Daniel Jeremiah, has Lloyd as the best running back. They got a premium left tackle and a core special teamer and a depth piece at linebacker. That's tough to argue so far with those results. Of course, the results will be on the actual football field itself, but it's hard to argue too much with the process for Goody. Even if there are a couple players that maybe you liked more, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, that you wish he maybe would have gone up for, it's tough to argue with what he's been able to achieve so far. And just a lot of this is going to be dependent on how these players go out and play on game days. As far as day three, a lot of picks remaining. fourth round pick, fifth round pick, 2 6s, 2 7s. So a 4th, 2 5s, 2 6s, 2 7s. Picks 126, 168, 169, 190, 202, 219, 245, and 255. Should be a busy day three. I do think he's going to get active. I would not be surprised if 126 comes up. Also, there is a 42-pick gap between 126 and 168. Don't be surprised if they use some of those picks to go from 168 or 169 up in the 140, 150 range just to narrow down that gap a little bit. As far as what they should attack, they can attack everything. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, still linebacker, corner safety. They can take everything at this point. It is interesting that Ian Rappaport noted that Spencer Rattler was in Green Bay for a pre-draft visit. They'd probably have to take him in round four. I would be totally fine with that. I like Rattler. I wouldn't have had any issue if some team took him in the second round. And you always want to take these flyers on quarterbacks. We always talk very romantically about, remember when they used to take quarterbacks all the time and they got Aaron Brooks and they got Mark Brunell and Matt Hasselbeck and, you know, all these late quarterbacks in the Ron Wolf era that ended up turning out really well when he constantly took flyers on these guys. If you want to take a flyer on Rattler and you think he can be a, you know, big time backup and maybe even with some starting quarterback potential, by all means, go and do it. You're in the day three of the draft. I don't want to hear anything about position on day three. Just try to find, with all those picks that Goody has, just try to find two or three guys that can be difference makers moving forward, meaning rotational players, somebody that has a specific skill set. Even if it's a backup quarterback, just find good players. The position does not matter whatsoever, in my opinion. I do think there's offensive line, corner, and safety. I just said don't talk about position, and I'm going to completely contradict myself so beautifully right after. But I do think there's a lot of offensive linemen that they can still attack. And I do think grabbing a corner for some competition and another safety could be positions that they still look to on day three of the draft. Some players that were still on my board on the 25 most likely draft picks from this draft: Mason McCormick, offensive lineman; Isaiah Guerrero, running back; Donovan Jennings, offensive lineman; Jalen Sundell, offensive lineman; Nick Gargiulo, offensive lineman; Jalen Carlies, safety; Ketan Oladabo, safety; Jaden Hicks, safety; and Eric Watts, defensive end. On my honorable mention list was Cam Hart, a corner, and Tanner Bordellini, the offensive lineman from Wisconsin. Every single pick so far that Green Bay has taken was on my Packers-centric big board. If you want to check that out, it is out on Twitter. I'll probably post it again early on Saturday, so that'll be out there. But every single pick that Green Bay's taken has been from that board. We'll see if we can continue that moving forward. My feel after three rounds, I feel good about the draft. I would have, if you like sort of reverse engineer this, if you would have told me that they took Edgerrin Cooper at 25 and Javon Bullard at 41, probably a bit aggressive, wouldn't have had much of an issue with it. So they still get Jordan Morgan in the first round. They get, you know, Cooper at in the second round while moving down and picking up a fifth and a sixth round pick. They get Bullard at 41. They get a really fun running back. And then they get, again, maybe a bit of a reach, but somebody that's going to be a rotational linebacker and a core special teams piece. I think Goody did work, and he definitely filled a lot of the holes and the gaps that really needed filling on this team, and he's going to be able to do a little bit more of that on day three. Meanwhile, some other news here. Jordan Morgan will wear number 77. I don't think any of the other jersey numbers have been given out yet, but Morgan will wear number 77. In the NFC North, it was a little bit tough with all the amazing picks from the NFC North on day one. On day two, only two picks in the division outside of Green Bay. Green Bay picked four players. The rest of the division combined, two. The Bears took Kieran Amagaji, offensive tackle I really like, developmental player, but he's going to take some time, I think, before he's even remotely ready. But he's a good player. I do like that pick. And same thing with the Lions. Ennis Rakestraw, one of my favorite players in this draft. You got two good players that went. Now, the Lions here, the interesting piece is they got Terrion Arnold, and then they got Rakestraw. So they went out and went two corners. I think that's probably a little over-aggressive at that position, but I love both of those players, and they're going to both fit very well. Rakestraw is your ultimate knee-biter, ankle-biter, whatever they call it. Like, he's that dude. He's going to fit in perfectly in Detroit with that system and style. That's a Lions pick all day, every day. But I like both of those picks, but only two picks in the division. The Vikings did not have any day two selections. That's going to do it for me. Appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our brand new members, RJ, Brett Wiersma, Jacob Wolf, Matt, Wally Lama, John Kramer, Brian Clementine, Drew Down 87, Caleb Akers, Vinay, Kimonikin, Big Massive, Troy Dawson, Nil, Robert Allen, and Michael Shipper. And thank you to Arnaldo Espinoza, brand new Hall of Fame member. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Brad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, and Arnaldo Espinoza. I will be back here tomorrow breaking down everything on day three. I might go live at some point during day three. We'll just have to wait and see. But after the draft, as soon as it is over, I will go live for members only. So keep an eye out for that members only Q&A for everyone that's a member. If you're not a member yet, make sure to sign up. I think $3.99 a month is the lowest tier and gets you all the, you know, some really great membership opportunities. And then there's other tiers available to you as well. But make sure to check that out. Subscribe if you haven't already. Like, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Appreciate it a ton. Certainly grinding away in all the best possible ways and going through all of this. Hope you guys are enjoying it. This is a beautiful, wonderful, amazing time of year. I'm running on adrenaline and caffeine and energy drinks at this point. Going to get a little bit of rest now. Get energized for day three, and then we'll break everything down again tomorrow. I will see you guys before you know it. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.